You are tuned into the BU Podcast, Episode 2, with co-host Luke Hamler and, checking in, the man himself,
Mr. Leon McQuaid. How are we doing?
And we're very fortunate to have a special guest who's had this chucked on him at the last minute. We're over to Sam. Tell us a little bit about you, Sam. Say hello to everyone.
Yeah, hello everybody. Yeah, I'm the man who runs Proper Sport at this moment in time, so looking forward to being on the show. Good to be here after last week. Enjoyed it.
Massive shout out to Proper Sport. You know, they've been absolutely a legend, Sam, and sorting us out. You've been putting out all the content from last week. You've donated these amazing facilities. We're really proud to and honoured to be part of the Proper Sport Network.
Thanks,
so that's been great. I think we did just go live, but we didn't obviously get going, so we'll try to get going again. Our tagline, I guess, is that we are real, we're raw, and we like to have some rants about a few things, put some of the world's problems to rights, in our opinion. You know, we talk all things personal development, business, life, family, and mental health, which I know we're going to talk about all them topics today. One topic that we did get into last week, which was a real taster, was a question that Deck asked, and it was, is the world moving too fast? And we all had our own spin on that. So I think I'll put that question to Sam and bring him straight into it. Is the world moving too fast?
Yeah, it was a good old debate last week. We did clips in the back, as you said before. We put out some of the best bits of the show, and I was trying to do that in the back, waiting for a good point. And then by the end of it, it was 16 minutes long, the clip, which is a little too long, but by about 6 minutes to be able to put out. So yeah, it was one of those debates where you could go all day with it. And I think I'm a little bit in the middle, I suppose. I think for us and what we do at Proper Sport, it's great because the platforms are constantly developing, the opportunities to reach the audience are getting bigger and bigger and easier every month, or almost there's new ways, new features to reach people and grow your audience. As we can see now, we're on Facebook.
How many channels are we on at the minute? Come on.
On a couple, are we on Instagram again?
Instagram,
we were on Insta before, but
yeah, we're on Insta, we're on Facebook, but yeah, other than Luke Hamler Facebook, the Proper Sport Facebook.
Yeah, so across both pages at the same time. Normally on a night with some other shows, we'd be on YouTube as well, we'd be on Periscope. So, you know, ample opportunities to be able to push it to people. Then, of course, the podcast afterwards goes all over the shop, whether you've got an Apple phone and your iTunes store, or an Android and Google Podcast, or on Spotify as well, all those platforms. There's so many these days to be able to get out there. But then on the other side, the flip side, again, as we were saying last week, I think as human beings, we possibly are moving too fast, becoming reliant on technology a lot of the times. You know, when you go to a pub or a restaurant, you know, everyone's got the phone in their hand. When you're on the bus or wherever you are walking down the street, the temptation is there just to go straight for the phone all the time. So from that point of view, the information is there, great to access it, but at the same time, I think it does have negative effects to us when all we can do sometimes is just go for the phone. It's becoming a real easy out for a lot of people.
100%. And I think Mr. Technology himself is going to have a point on this. I know he's been itching all day getting this. People wouldn't have heard it last time. So, Leon.
The point I'm making is, I do agree it's moving fast. The word too is driven by us. So there's got to be, you know, like everything, I don't believe there's a positive and negative. I believe simply be, you know, in the present, right? And when you look at that, and I was saying it earlier, but we missed this point, is, I remember going on a marketing course and seeing a guy teach about marketing, and he basically said that everything's changed. You know, it used to be, you know, big brands who had big budgets with deep pockets could go out and market and basically could out-market you. And they could, you know, in the tabloids, everything was very propaganda-based, I suppose. You know, if you think of it, there was only certain media outlets. So, for example, for us to get a voice on a podcast or a radio show, to get onto, you know, to get the possibility to be on as many channels as we are, like you're saying, potentially this could go on to someone could watch this on their TV, the phone, it's so accessible, right? And us having access to come and do this, when you think back just 5 years, 10 years ago, it's insane. So if everyone's got a channel, what that then means is that everybody's got a means to communicate. And I think the most important skill in life, and you'll know this more than anybody, you know, you do this for a living, speak. If you can't communicate, right, I think it's one of the biggest skills we all need to be able to communicate. Because if we can't, you know, express ideas, I can't say what we want, it becomes a massive challenge. But then when we wrap that up in tech, and this is the thing, right? I was saying to you earlier, wasn't I? So when we all chill out and we all, you know, when we're away from doing our jobs, playing the different many roles we all have, what is it we like to do? So what is it you like to do?
I like a red hot Redox bath, and I do like to watch my iPod, whether that be YouTube motivational videos myself for a bit more learning, or whether it be Netflix. You know, I did get into Narcos, I did really get into that, so that was something that I really enjoyed watching. So I guess that'll be a me time, but yeah, again, it's just more information, isn't it?
So in the last 12 months alone, right, Netflix has seen a whopping 40% increase in streaming hours. So it's gone from 69,000 to 97,000. That's you know what people are consuming per minute, though. You know that's right. So these stats, right? It's more accessible. YouTube's reached 4.3 million views per minute, right? So when you look at them stats, people are consuming data, right? But I think, you know, for me, and this links back to, there's a guy called Steven Pinker. Has anyone ever heard of him?
No.
Look him up, research him. He does some great books. He's got a new book out at the minute. But he's a Canadian / American cognitive psychologist, right? And he has a real good way of taking something very, very complex, and he makes it
simple,
right? So he's been looking at a piece of research about how we're getting smarter, and it, you know, and at the minute the IQ tests suggest that we're not really getting that much smarter. But when he started looking right into the means of that, he's saying that it needs to be re-standardised. The test's not changed since the 1940s. It's been the same test, right? So someone who, you know, took the test in the 1940s to say, me or you taking it now, depending on raw intelligence, right, we have the same, but there's a key difference at the moment. We're able to learn in so many new, unique ways now. So I could never learn in a traditional classroom. If I was given information from a book and just spoken to, I couldn't do it. So it's a bit like if I wanted to teach you how to play rugby, because you needed to learn how to play rugby, you know, and I sat you in a classroom for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, however long, you know, we've been learning history at school or RE, and sat you in a classroom environment, but you never actually went out and experienced it, right? You could do that with teaching someone else to play rugby if we classed it as a subject at school, right? But you know the best way, if you say Sam's never played rugby before, within half an hour you could get us to out on the field and you could tell us the top tips, what we need to look for, and you'd be immersion training to get us up to speed, right? So there's new ways that we know now that scientifically proven that help us learn a lot of information, help us learn complex information quicker. Would we all agree?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So our means of educating ourselves are improving. Our channels are improving, right? And when you look at this Flynn effect, what they've actually studied is when they go back and they re-rationalise the test exams, we're actually 300% more intelligent than we was 50 years ago, which for me is mental, right? But part of that, what he says is behind that is because a big one is food and nourishment. I mean, big man, we like to eat, don't we?
Yeah.
Right? But we've just come back from Tanzania, right? So you could see there's a massive need there, aren't there, in terms of, you know, basic, you know, needs. But the science is clear, and we're seeing more of this. You know, my good friend Paul, who runs Paul for Brain, he's brought like a nutritional bar out that's all focused on making sure you're getting the right nutrients into your body so your brain can think and work better, right?
Yep.
So we're seeing the science is clear on that, right? So if we sort our diet out, we're getting more intelligent. On top of that, we've got better ways to learn, better ways to think. And then the other part of it, when he's also looked at this Flynn effect, he said that we've actually got better strategies for coping and dealing with problem solving. So he's saying we're not necessarily getting 300... He didn't believe that we're 300% more intelligent. He believes we've got better tools to get ourselves out of problems. Because us being ultra, you know, we're 98% chimp, aren't we? You know, primeval. He's saying we're designed to fix problems and find solutions. That's what we're there to do. So we are getting smarter and smarter and smarter, and that is ultimately down to technology.
So I'm going to pull you now.
Right, pull me. But on the flip side, the bit where I'm going to massively agree with us all, where we're moving too fast, because we're not controlling it and we're not using it for its greatest needs. For example, we wanted some food yesterday because I wasn't feeling so well. I had a couple of beers with a client on the night, feeling a bit sorry for myself in the office. What do you do? Zoe says she's going to go out and get a sandwich. So I'm like, oh, I fancy a bacon sandwich, you know, and all this bit. So anyway, she comes in And it takes a bit of effort to go up to the sandwich shop in the rain and go get it. So much that if Zoe hadn't been there and she hadn't, you know, stood up and gone and got one, I wouldn't have had one, right? But she goes and gets one. She comes back and she's like, this is like a very traditional greasy spoon, right? I've been going to for years, right? And you can see that. And she come back in, and this is when I got this idea for this. I'm just like, this is a good side for the business, but bad side for me if I don't control it. She come back in and said, they do everything. They do puddings, they do this, they do that, all the rest of it, and they're on Just Eat. And they deliver, if the order's past this, they'll deliver here, right? So all of a sudden, you know, that's great for the business because it can get out there, right? It's a great use of technology, but I know that just with a snap of a button away, I can be eating belly busters all day, and this big man doesn't need to eat belly busters all day, does he?
So let's go up on the point about tools, because I was just thinking then straight away, there are a couple of points I want to pull you upon. First one being is that if you give my dad a hammer and a screwdriver and you fill me up with a toolbox full of things, right? I mean, you look me, give me every tool on the planet. I still couldn't build a wall better than him if he just had those minor tools, because his experience says, from the stuff he's been through, both positively and negatively as a joiner and a builder, that he'll build a wall still better than me with just an hammer and a screwdriver, versus me with a trowel, a spade and everything, right? What we've done now is we've given everyone all these tools, but no one knows how to use them, right? Because what's happened is everyone's got all these tools, everyone's... You're going to pull me up on something. So after the conversation we had about technology, I then put my baby in an electric rocker, right? And it's top at range. For mums, it's called big technology rocker, right? And
That, by the way, I think it's a fantastic use of tech.
Right, and Leon pulled me about it. And I start to think about it. My argument with us moving too fast is, yes, some stuff are there to make our lives easier, but some stuff are giving us so much information. And where I think we're going too fast is that our minds haven't yet been able to keep up with the pace in terms of how we handle that information, that stress. So yes, on paper, we might seem to be more educated or might be more intelligent, but you know, the levels of stress in this country and in Western world are through the roof. You know, we've got the highest rate on antidepressants available, whether it's through NHS prescriptions, known on the planet. So my thing is that, yes, giving people the tools, but if we're not able to use them properly, then ultimately we're all going to end up exploding, like which a lot of people are. Stress levels are soaring. And for me, people need at times, you know, and I'm going to come into a good talking point in a minute, something that it's more of a rant. Some stuff that, you know, people are constantly being consumed by these things, you know, these tablets, these phones, and they're never switching off and never being present, which then leads to anxiety because they feel like it's the FOMO, fear of missing out.
What was that?
FOMO, fear of missing out.
I like that.
It's actually a condition about that.
I'm writing it down.
People get a fear of missing out. FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
Have you heard of that before?
I've never heard of it, but if you can fully understand it and see it, and then you see it in people when you're walking around, you feel yourself sometimes. You want to get that news first. I've tried to scale that back a little bit over the last 12 months, but in terms of, again, what we do and what you have done when we've run newsrooms and things like that you do want to be on top of it so much. You want to be first. Everybody wants to be first, you know, getting all the retweets or whatever and getting the information out there and you know, being known for that, having that reputation. But you know, it does consume, and it can consume, and you can be up at, you know, all hours of the night trying to look for things, and you know, and I think it does, the fear of missing out, that is a big part of it, definitely.
Yeah, and I think I was just to jump in quickly on that in terms of how quick you can get gobbled back in. So I jumped on a couple of things last week, didn't I, for the man club, and I was down in London, and I thought I'll start getting a bit of content while I'm there. I'll get some content out and I'll just make myself useful. And it was quite interesting that a good friend of mine, Shane, he works over in Mallorca, does loads of social media. He works with like the Geordie Show a lot and all the rest of it. And he was over, and I spoke to him, and I was talking to him about how I control my technology and I make it so that past 6:30, if you're not on my favourites list, it won't ring. And I do certain things to lock me out of certain apps as best as I can, right? But then you can, like, for example, I was on Instagram quite late. So he's messaged me and he's like, I thought you're blocking this, but man's set to a limit. So it was quite funny, and he never sent me it back. I sent him a screenshot of how many hours I'd been on my social media platforms, and it was about 2 hours across the week, and I'd done quite a lot of blogs. And I was like, send me yours back, and he was like, no, I use social media for a living. And I was like, no, show me. But even myself, right, again, I was sucked back into that rabbit hole instantly, so easy. And again, I'm consciously putting blocks on it, so I can't do stuff. And all of a sudden, on Saturday night, when I should have been chilling,
very fun.
I'm having fun.
And it's a difficult one, isn't it? And I think, you know, patience is a big thing now. You know, we are, it's an attribute that most people have lost, the art of being patient. You know, everyone wants everything now, and you see with exam results and other things going on in the world where people are so anxious about what's going on and there's things they can't control. Because I could ask any of you two a question now, and whoever could get the phone out fastest and Google it would have my answer first. We don't actually use certain parts of his brains anymore because we can get information.
Too easy.
So for me, that's where that went. So I guess moving on to, which leads on really nicely, and this is never planned, it's about this stress and anxiety and depression. It is mental health. You know, a question I'll ask, and I'll give it a little go at my points on it to explain, is mental health becoming fashionable? And straight away, as a mental health campaigner, people who are watching will be like, where's he going with this? There'll be some people who'll be like, straight away, yeah, I get where he's going. And there'll be other voices going, no, it's not enough's being done, right? So let's just break it down. What I mean is, I, in the circles that I've become in over the last couple of years especially, I see a lot of noises being made positively. You know, the It's Okay to Talk campaign we started, it's all made some really good noises, and there've been a lot of campaigns after that, which I love. But then what I've found now is a series of bloggers that have come onto the scene, anxiety bloggers, depression bloggers, and I feel like they've constantly got to keep themselves relevant by talking about how bad their problem is. And for me, I don't think that's inspiring. I don't get inspired by seeing what someone's been through unless they've come through it. And if you see someone who's in a really bad patch and they tell you constantly for a year they're in a bad patch and they don't do anything about it to get themselves in a better place, then that's not inspiring. That's just someone who is stuck in a certain place. And I find that a lot of these bloggers will start putting real positive content out, and then they'll just have to, so all the followers know that they still struggle, have to put on and maybe really exaggerate a situation that's not that bad. And for me, this were all summed up by Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Completely summed up. What he said is, I've suffered a depression, I was suicidal, I was low as I could go, I was taking drugs, I was taking drink, I was at the lowest point I could be, and I've just gone out and fighting a world title again. I come back for it and anyone else can. And that to me is inspiring, because he's come through it. And too many people, I think, now want to talk about how bad the problem is rather than looking at what they can do well for themselves. So that was just something that I thought I'd throw out there to you guys.
Yeah, I immediately thought of the Fury thing when you said it. And yeah, fantastic.
And what a fight, by the way.
Brilliant.
A fight. Wow.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, what a performance. And to do that after everything he's been through was, again, you know, even more. He robbed of, you know, possibly the greatest ever. Come back in sport, in boxing, whatever you want to call it.
He won though, didn't he?
He did.
We all know he won.
Yeah, clearly. And looking at it, then the next day, and coming out and the press conference after the fight, and then doing the next one the next morning, and he looks down the camera and he gives that message again, which, you know, he's been getting out quite a lot. You know, some brilliant interviews. The Joe Rogan podcast was fantastic that he did, and some other ones as well, to really highlight what he's been through and how he's learned to cope and push himself forward. But then, you know, that message then gets dominated and gets taken, and it's being put everywhere. Then BT Sport, I think, put it out because it's their interview. But then it goes everywhere. It's all over. The internet, and, you know, everybody wants it. It's about getting that information first. All these big platforms, Sport Bible, Sport, all these ones that have millions of followers, all want that clip because it's a great clip, and it's great to see. But then I think the message then becomes diluted, because it's them, the way they're writing it and the way they're putting it forward is more just so they can get, you know, a nice quick hit and some nice clicks out of it, rather than, you know, taking the actual message of what he's saying. And what he's saying is fantastic, and I'm sure he wants as many people as possible to see it. But I just think there's a way of doing it and putting it out, and some of these organisations almost do it down for me a little bit and dilute that message with the way they put it out, and the way they rewrite it, or the way they, you know, in the tweet and they put it out.
I think I struggle with written communication. I really struggle. So again, we've been putting a new rebrand out on a lot of information, and writing the emails and the copy, it's just not a strong point of mine. I can't see when I'm making mistakes, right? But also as well, from being in an industry, I used to get a lot of emails. You know, sometimes, so, you know, and you get a lot of emails all day, but I used to get a lot of emails, and some of them emails, when you read written communication, they can be just completely blown out of proportion at times. Yeah, misconstrued. And I mean,
it's how you're feeling on that day.
Yeah, of course it is. And I mean, hopefully we've all done it, and this is a good technique if no one's ever done it. I used to, and I try and limit now the number of emails I send. So if someone emails me, I'd much rather pick up the phone and speak to them to get that person not used to being able to email me and they get an instant response, because emails, text messages, WhatsApps, or you name it, any platform is not the best route for me. It's phone calls. Me and you are the same, aren't we?
Exactly, yeah.
And sometimes me and you can go for days, weeks and not get certain messages, but we know if we ring each other and we check in that way. And I think that's a massive art that's getting lost. But then there's a challenge on that, because you're seeing that again more now. Video content's becoming one of the massive drivers. You've seen it with the data I've just given, that you'll be seeing it yourself, right? I actually like to consume audio books or podcasts, if you like, through YouTube. I just get more sense of what people are speaking about. You can read people's emotion. I think in written communication, you don't see that. And I think, again, with these bloggers, for example, who are putting these communication out there. I'd checked out a couple of them after that Mind Awards. And again, I get exactly your point where you're coming from. But then there's another challenge, isn't there, between, you know, your journals are fantastic because you can get things out and you can put it into a place. And that's like a right platform for it. I think some of these bloggers are doing what your journal's for, but it's one of them, isn't it? It's a massive point you're making in terms of when does it become an outlet for them, and what, at what point do we share everything like that, if that makes sense?
I think for years, so my mum's got a severe mental illness, right? She has drop attacks. She had it from a car crash.
Until you'd said it before, and yeah, you mentioned it, when I saw that car crash, I mean, that was...
Yeah. I just found pictures out just over there, and they were amazing to see, and just where it all started. And I think back in the day when she started having drop attacks and had anxiety and depression, you know, anxiety that bad, she didn't leave her house for 4 years. No one spoke about it at all. So seeing where it's come from then to now, and it ain't just me and my mum driving a psychologist, you know, there's so much support. But what I don't want to do is start glorifying mental health. You know, it's not a good thing to have mental health problems. Yeah. And I think that's some of the stuff I'm reading now, where people, it's like as if it's a good thing that you've had anxiety.
Yeah, it's a badge of honour at times, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the way it's...
And exactly. And what we're not trying to do is give a badge of honour. We don't give a badge of honour if someone's had cancer, do we? We give a badge of honour when they've come, like, it's like, wow, you had cancer, that's awful. And like, yeah, but I'm fighting back. And you saw, you know, you've seen it with athletes who fought through physical illnesses. Tyson Fury now has fought through a mental illness. And that's where the inspiration, that's where the glorification comes for me. Yes, you've been down in the dumps, physically or mentally or both, but yet you've come through that. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that I agree. And it's, like you said before, it's the message, it's okay to talk, you know, is a good one. But again, with the way you deliver that and who you talk to, you know, I think a lot of people who maybe don't have people do then rely on the internet and social media, whether it's a blog, and also one I can think off the top of my head who you can see he suffered quite a lot, but he uses Twitter as almost his to get out. So he knows if he puts a message out, he'll get 100 people, you know, saying, you know, chin up, keep going. Yeah, and I think it does look like it's become that, and it's again, that's almost as, it can be as dangerous, I think, as having it, when you then rely on something, whether it is a blog, and you feel like you keep having to write about it, and then, like you said before, you know, something that's maybe not that bad becomes,
you've got to get
people to read it and engage with you, and that's your support network is these people, these followers. So, you know, once they go away and stop reading, then your support network's gone, and it's not there. So if that's what you're relying on to do it in this new modern digital age, then, you know, it can make matters worse, I think.
And I think online, and with It's Okay to Talk, and Leon might have seen this in the past, I found that there's two categories people fall into with It's Okay to Talk. There's people who are willing to talk. So they go, oh, someone told us we're okay to talk. They'll talk, and they'll talk, and they'll talk, and they'll talk, right? Which is great. If that's what helps them, that's great. But by keeping talking about it, doesn't fix it. Then you get the second category, is the masculine man who's the guy that Andy's man club, in a sense, was trying to wait. It's okay to talk with him. That was the guy who puts his mask on, like we've all done in the past, bottle up our shit, don't talk to him about it, and we try to let him talk. And you notice when they come to a group, they take the mask off, they open up, and they might have come two or three times, it's worked, they've gone. Mm. And that's why we get a big turnover of numbers. And they're the group that we try with. You don't often hear them type of guys blogging, right? You hear these guys blogging, and what they do is they're talking about a bad, but in life, you know, people say, well, that never worked for me, and you know, like going out and being active or connecting with radiators. Because I always say there's two types of people in life. There's radiators and there's drains, and radiators are energy givers. And at times we'll all flick between radiators and drains. Drains are energy takers, right? But when you're feeling shit, the worst thing you can do is surround yourself with other drains. You've got to get yourself in a room of radiators, right? Or surround yourself with those people that are going to show love. You've got to go out, you've got to act, you've got to get off your phone, you've got to be mindful, you've got to get yourself right in the present moment. You've got to give. Because the secret to living is giving, and you've got to give beyond yourself. Because when you start to give a selfless act, it starts to feel good, right? And last one is growth. And I think where people go wrong is they get stagnated in life and they start to grow. And I always say, and you'll be answered, if you stop feeding a plant, what does it do? What does it do? Dies. What about if you feed it weed killer then?
Yeah.
Dies even faster.
And that's like the mind, the human mind. If you don't feed the mind with information, but the correct information, because the difference going on Facebook,
we've got enough information out there, haven't we?
There's so much information out there. If you go on Facebook all the time and read people's shit and don't get any positivity in your life, you are going to naturally feel worse. If you go on and you delete all the people who are constantly putting shit on, yeah, and you surround yourself with positive pages and positive people, and you start to get their messages, it does make you feel better. So it's like, in the five things I was mentioning, the NHS has 5 points to well-being. Go out, get active, because when you have a physiological change and you get active, you have a neurological change that makes you feel better.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one thing for me when I've been down or feeling like that, it's that I don't do that. I've kind of have a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's a love hate relationship with exercise or whatever. But I know if I'm doing it and I'm active, then I feel a lot better. Whereas, you know, I've had such a busy life in this job over the last 18 months. You know, we've gone through massive changes, quite a lot of redundancies, and particularly delicate times of the year. This time last year in particular, we made, you know, five people redundant right before Christmas. That's a horrible, you know, thing to go through when you've, you know, known these people for, you know, 3 or 4 years and you like them, but there's nothing you can do about it. That's just the way it is and what's being forced on you. But then, you know, just that obviously takes up a lot of time, you know, having kids as well, so you can kind of cut, that's an easy thing you can cut out of your life, just being active. And I found that, you know, I have to force myself to go and do it, but when I do it then I feel, you know, 10 times better than when I don't. Just those simple things, but it's just making.
We'll say this: we're going to have a challenge again. Me and you are, we'll cry, and we'll get into a challenge. But before we go there, I want to pick one quick point up though, right? In all this, because what we're talking about, you know that point you made about radiators and drains, right? And I think we see that in terms of there's two type of guys who sort of use the clubs as well, aren't they? And these guys who turn up, maybe come once, twice, and you can see they've had that release, seen that, and they're away. And then they might come back now and again, they'll check in now and again, but it's not for them sharing every week. And there's other people who are comfortable sharing and other people comfortable talking. So I get that, I see that 100%. But I think there was an interesting point I'd seen again, this back to my stats, right? Internet's only been around since 1994. Just think about that, that's not long at all, right? It's changing at a rate that we need to start controlling it, right? And it's like anything, isn't it? Anything new that comes out, we don't really know the consequence of it. But there's a big thing going on at the minute in terms of the internet. And you'll have seen, you've actually experienced this, that, you know, the internet trolls, right? 100%. Now, there was a big thing at one point where you could sign up for Twitter, and they're trying to make it more linked to your mobile phone numbers now and the rest of it. But there used to be a big thing, and there still is out there, there's still a lot of forums where people actually have an identity. Yeah. And this is back to this Steven Pinker book, right? And he says, you know, the World Wide Web at the minute, there is a lot of people still using it who have handles. I mean, I used to have a handle years ago. I remember when I first went on the internet, I had this handle of Maximum. I don't know what it was, but everyone had a handle, right? And it reminds me, I used to have a CB radio. Do you know what a CB radio is? No idea. Before the internet, look, that's how I used to check in on, give me a mic check on, you know.
Sounds awesome.
And that's how it used to work, didn't it? On a CB radio, and that's how you communicate with your friends. You have your own little radio station, right? And all of a sudden, though, you know, on the CB radios back in the day, you could go on, and if you had a real powerful CB radio, you could go out and key out channels and just put rave music on. That's what I used to do, and just piss off all the lorry drivers, right? Until they'd start saying to you, I'm coming to find you, but they couldn't find you. But then they'd have certain devices where they could target you. And I'd be a little kid, you know, on my CB radio with car batteries on the roof and just causing absolute havoc with the CB radio because I was anonymous. And when I read this thing on Stephen Pinker, he said the internet's the same as back in the day of the CB radios, you know. No longer we're saying Roger Tango, Rubber Duck. We're hiding behind these, you know, anonymous. Yeah, and all of a sudden, once you're anonymous, you're not accountable.
Yep.
And once you're not accountable, you actually don't start acting with a core human belief. So we talk about, you know, coming from a place of love, being honest. I'm a massive believer in radical honesty, right? You know, and as long as you're honest and you're coming from the best place, you might not always see eye to eye, but you can at least move forward from that position, can't you? But if you've been anonymous, right, already you're not being what's real. And we talk about real and raw. And I think there's a massive problem on the internet, right, which we're still learning. People can be anonymous, and it's okay to be anonymous, but I don't believe it's okay to be honest and chat shit.
Yeah,
no, it's not okay to be anonymous and chat shit.
You used a big word there, didn't you? Call it accountability, which leads us on to... So...
Sam, what have you done here? What's he done here?
He even faded that up as well.
So me and Leon have decided we want to lose some weight. New Year is coming, we've got goals. We're going to be here every week, so Sam's going to keep us accountable.
Win some scales, Sam.
I'm winning about 120 kg. Leon's reckoning he's winning at...
What, 17 stone, I reckon, 20 kg.
Next week, we are going to bring the scales. We're going to get weighed. And then we're going to go for it. We're going to do the Biggest Loser challenge. Each week, we'll get the scales out. We'll see who's lost the most weight, and the loser will have to do a forfeit. Two full subs from downstairs, bought by a loser. You'll enjoy that, won't you? So, are we on for that?
We're on it.
Let's go. Biggest Loser challenge is on.
Sam, your holding is accountable.
I'll try.
It's your job.
About that investment in the scales. I'll wait till sales.
We're bringing scales.
I'm sure someone will bring in some scales in from somewhere. We'll get some scales.
We're going to do that. We're going to have a Biggest Loser competition, and we're going to see. What we'll show is as well with that, you know, a lot of the work, you know, you've read about and I deal with is goal setting and mindset. And I think it's going to be a great product to show people that actually, if you set your mind to something, you really can do it.
Well, it links back to what you were just saying. I'm exactly the same as you in terms, and we were talking about this the other week. I used to get up really, really early and get in the gym. I had a gym in my house, and I took away every limitation, right? And the brain's got a wonderful thing of making up an excuse. So in my former career, I felt I was the busiest guy ever. So I left that career to not be a busy guy. All of a sudden, lo and behold, I'm the busiest guy ever again, right? Because that's what we do when we go after, you know, if you're used to setting goals and going after challenges, it's never going to be enough for certain people. You're always going to change, right? But it's getting back to that fundamental. You know, I was working late last night on certain stuff because we've got a lot of things, exactly like you're saying, going for a lot of change, a lot of things. But 100%, and this is why I've made the effort, you know, we weren't going to do this today because me and you both had 100 reasons not to do this today, didn't we?
100%, yeah.
Right, 100 reasons not to do it, businesses to run, families to do, all the rest of it. But my favourite saying in life, my very, very favourite saying is, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if we're saying we're committing to doing this every Thursday, we're committing. And I think that holds us accountable to ourselves, and it pays way forward because you've got to be, you've got to be committed and go all in, haven't you?
Yeah, 100%.
So what's your thoughts on that?
I've definitely found that. I'm definitely that kind of character, really, in terms of what I've done here and at Radio Yorkshire, you know, before that. That it's, you do get that one track mindset, and you're always trying to chase it and push it forward, and it, you know, you can get lost to that, and it's sometimes then, as we were saying before, you know, the out time being Netflix or whatever, sometimes then the easy thing at, you know, at 10 o'clock at night when the missus go to bed and the kids are asleep, just to get the laptop out, isn't it? And just do a little bit more and a little bit more. But then you're up early in the morning, you're doing a little bit more then you're into work, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours, and then you're back, and it's sometimes it's never ending cycle of you're never out of it, and you never let yourself come out of that pressure, particularly at certain times when you are going through things that, you know, that are affecting other people's lives in a big way as well. You don't let yourself out of it, which I've definitely found that, and then over the last few months, in particular, off the back of the changes we've had more recently at the end of the summer, is just try and take that little bit of more of a step back and just try and analyse it a bit more and just try and make it easier the way that we're operating proper sport now, and so it's not constantly chasing the news agenda. It's not constantly doing all these different kind of things. We do all the clips from the shows. We do them at the time, and then we can nicely put those out over the weekend, and it makes actually then the content of the station a lot more manageable, and then you can actually concentrate on other things and trying to push the business side of it forward as well. So you know we're growing and we're adding new podcasts. You guys have come in. We've added more recently, the full 80 minutes as well. But it's not taking its toll anymore. Whereas even when I had, when there was five staff in this building, it was still a constant go all the time. So I'm trying to just readjust and just make that conscious effort to, like you said, not be the busiest guy ever, and concentrate on the family a little bit more as well. When I first moved here and took this job, when I first came over here to work, I was on a breakfast show over at Yorkshire Radio, and I was driving in from East Lancashire, live over Burnley way, so I was coming in at for six every morning to be on air, going home middle of the afternoon when there's no traffic. And then as soon as I came back here to do and ended up doing the job of running the station, then you have to be in there more, that 9-5 role, travelling in there. It was taking 2.5 hours in the morning, 2.5 hours in an evening.
More people you get, the more problems you get.
More problems, freelancers.
People you get, the more process. Yeah, more process you get, the more technology. Yeah, and it just goes on.
People work different hours, so you get the evening, people coming and texting you, ringing you when you're at home. Just had a baby as well, so at that point, I was never at home. 12, 14 hours a day. Come on, walk dogs, go to bed, do it all again. Yeah. Kids asleep when you're up, kids asleep when you're back home. So so that's why we moved over this way, and change.
I used to call it Grindhog Day, mate. For a bit of fun, I used to love getting up every day really early. But it just come a point, and there's a song that I've just found on here actually.
Okay, mate. He's turned into Chris Miles, isn't he? It's a podcast, not a radio station.
I know, but this song.
That's what 50p in every time you play one,
Is it?
Everything you were saying there is exactly. I can relate to it so much, because at one point, after doing It's Okay to Talk, and it went so big, not only were I getting a lot of these, you could call people who saw the good, but they also saw the bad. I was getting a lot of messages. And then this song came out recently, and it made me think about a time that in my life, with all this period, about these lyrics, how they related so much to my life. And hopefully you listen and I'll see if you understand it, and then I'll come back and explain it, so see if it works.
But only when it freezes, 'cause I'm only human, just like you, making my mistakes. Oh, if you only knew, I don't think you should believe you do.
I'm a Rubik's, a beautiful mess, at times juvenile, yes, I goof and I jest, a flawed human, I guess, but I'm doing my best to not ruin your expectations and meet him, but first, the speed him verse, now Big Sean, he's going too fast, is he gonna shout or curse out his mom? There was a time I had the world by the balls eating out my palm. Every album song I was spazzing the fuck out on, and now I'm getting clowned and frowned on, but the only one who's looking down on me that matters now's Deshaun. Am I lucky to be around this long? Begs the question though, especially after the methadone is yesterday fades, and the Dresden home is burnt to the ground, and all that's left of my house is lawn. The crowds are gone, and it's time to wash out the blonde. Sales decline, the curtain's drawn, they're closing the set, I'm still poking my head from out behind. And everyone who has doubt, remind, now take your best rhyme, outdo it, now do it 1,000 times. Now let them tell you the world no longer cares or gives a fuck about your rhymes. And as I grow out of sight, out of mind, I might go out of mind. 'Cause how do I ever let this mic go without a fight, when I'm made of fucking tightrope out of twine? But when I do fall from these heights, though, I'll be fine. I won't pout or cry or spiral down or whine. But I'll decide if it's my final bow this time around, 'cause
I'll
Nice. Nice.
I didn't make it to come on where it did, but them lyrics, because I felt like everyone at one point when I did It's Okay Top 4 that I had the answers. You know, I've had school kids message me, I've had wives message me, husbands message me, you know, at the depths of despair, like that they're going to kill themselves, and it was some deep, deep shit, right? And it got to the point where that were happening. I had family members who were struggling, I had all these people who were struggling, and it felt like everyone thought that Cod Luke does motivational speaking as well, this is Andy's man club, he does all this stuff, he's my solution. And I've got to a point where I had all these messages, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, this is why I talk about information. You know, I had all this information, and that song came on, and it was like, you know, I can walk on water, but only when it freezes. You know, I'm not Jesus. You know, I can't fix everyone's problems. And it, when he says it then, and you know, will it come to a point where when the curtains get shut, you know, I'm thinking about doing my own talks and people wanting to hear your story, you know. My thing was that, you know, there'll only be one little crowd left, and it'll be your family. And it's what you said then, you can spend so much time grinding and hustling and bustling, but end of the day, you know, my little daughter has been so shocked this week. She's been a bit upset at school this week because daddy and mummy are both at home with a baby, and they're not with her. And because I took so much time off, a teacher, she's been crying a little bit, and she actually did a card for me yesterday because I'm home. And it's like, for me, that ain't what I'm trying to build. You know, I'm not trying to build. I didn't quit rugby to give myself more time to be a speaker, to chase my dream, to not give my kids as much time. So, you know, this last little period of time, I've been grinding so hard with the BU journals, we've launched the podcast, this motivational merchandise coming, there's so much coming for the business, because I want to get to a place where I can be where I'm on more. Because ultimately, when I get to my deathbed, I don't think there'll be many things I regret that I did do, but what I regret that I didn't do, and mine will be that I don't give my kids the best dad possible. You know, and that's for me is my ultimate life goal, to be the best dad possible, because I was very fortunate to have the best dad possible, and still am. So I think for me, that's what I want to give to my kids. And when we're on about then, about we all get into that hustle bustle, we're blogging, we give information, we'll be in this imaging world. Actually, you know, end of the day, we're all only human.
But you know what's great though, with kids, right? And we've all been there. You're in a supermarket with your kid, and they say something completely inappropriate about someone else who's in there, but they're actually, you know, what's the motto of this show? Real, raw, right? That they don't know no different, they've just been real, they've been raw. So your little one's just been real and raw with you, and holding you accountable. And a little human being who you love, you can't explain how much you love that little human being, when they're real and raw with you, it pierces you, and the truth pierces you. That's a great moment to just give you a bit of a reality check, because at the end of the day, all she's saying, again, I find it really weird, right, in the education system, right, just really weird, right, considering all my knowledge has come after education, from self-learning, right, so I'm not saying there's not a place for it, but I find it really weird that we take our kids off to school to go learn away from us, when really they should be learning from us, and it's a real unique thing, you know, like, why shouldn't she stay at home with you? But no, and I get it, but I still find it odd.
I tell you what, when the epiphany moment came, and this is where, you know, you do all this stuff, you do social media, you get to go do mad shit, like you were at Mind event, I've done some cool shit, you'll have interviewed some amazing people and done, you know, Bradford Bulls and all that, and we all do this amazing stuff, people see that on social media. But my best moment came recently. I once creeped in on me, Kids in Dark, and I went to the Tickle Monster, we're called, and I went, John, I came up with his name, and I went, John McQuicken, right? Don't know where that name comes from. So every night now when I'm on, they go, can we play John McQuicken, right? So the other day, I'm hiding in my daughter's bedroom. Listen, I'm hiding, we turn all lights off in the house, so the house is pitch black, right? And then I jump out and I tickle them, right? And then I run off, and then they got to come find me, and I grab them again, and they love it. And I read behind my daughter's door while they're both going, where is it? And I nearly started crying. And it sounds mad, this. And then I started crying, stood back down, and thought, this is the most simplest thing ever. You're in behind your door, waiting for him to come in this room, and then you're going to jump out and go, rah, John McQuicken, and you're going to tickle them, and they're going to be like buzzing. And I mean, absolutely, they love that. And it's cost nothing. It's just real simple. And I thought, that was the moment when I went, that's it, I need to start really focusing on being home more, because ultimately, when it all comes said and done, it's family or anything out there.
Yeah, I've done that over the last few months since coming out of being employed full time in end of August, just being around more, and like I said before, first time around, you know, I was doing like 12, 14-hour days, driving, you know, from Lancashire
on the hamster wheel
to Leeds all that time. But then we had our second child in the summer, and it's been a totally different experience just being there, you know, during the day, you know, times when you don't have to be or not to be in meetings, can do a lot of work from home, obviously with technology and all that kind of thing. So just to be able to do that, and it's been a completely different experience. But then for the older one, to have me around a bit more, and like I said, just those little, you know, play moments when he's around back from school or whatever, it's a different world, and it does make you realise that, you know, what you're doing, you know, not why you're doing it, but you know why you structure your life in a particular way.
And I've got that going on at the moment in terms of, you know, having a brand new business again, so everything's up in the air, and you've got a lot of things to do when you first set up a business. You know, you've got process you're building, all these different things,
people, all
of this stuff, right? And again, it was real nice actually yesterday, me and the co-founder Scott, we checked in and we had a bit of a meeting yesterday, me and him, and we took ourselves away. And we looked at it all, and it's like, looking at where we want to be financially and all the rest of it, it's like, well, actually, let's get some more help in. Let's forget about the big, because we need more. That's not the best use of our time, and we need to be getting time with our families and not, you know. And Scott, you know, and tragically just recently lost his mum. So again, when something like that happens, you know, you go through tragedy, you just reassess. Yeah, you reassess your time. And again, like me on the way here today, again, you know, is the world going too fast? I'm rushing to get here because I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm trying to be busy, you know. And my car, I'd let it to Luke over the weekend, and then I got it back myself, and I managed to drive over. I was saying to you boys, one hundred before, drive over like a little fence post, and part of the bumper was knackered. And as I'm on the motorway today coming here, I'm already a little bit late because my meeting's run over, and I'm whizzing here. It sounds like the car's gone bang. Yeah, I'm thinking the front tyres are the thing. And it's just a real weird moment because I'd just been on the phone with Luke. And because I'd just been on the phone with Luke, I turned the music down and everything. So I could hear everything. It was like a real weird, like I've got some little angel looking over me or something, because I was like in the moment, hands on the wheel, all the rest of it, ready to be prepared for it, rather than music blaring, on the phone talking to someone, and I could deal with it. And it was just one of them bits where I had to just calm myself down, go, hold on a minute. That could have been really serious, and I took it real steady getting here. I was 15 minutes late, so I was 20 minutes late, but there's more important things in life, isn't there? I think at times, it's that chase, that hustle, and again, I'm trying to hold myself accountable, trying again, and this is part of, you know, I like coming here, because you think outside the box again. There's a lot of stuff I'm going to drop, what needs dropping, just to focus on that.
What's matters?
And
what does matter is that I've got to be at a score and... in just over an hour. So what I want you to do is, we always have a quick free round question, though. We started that last week. I'm going to ask you now, what's a goal? I want you to think of a real strong goal you've got for 2019.
Strong goal? Oh, he's on it today, isn't he? He's on it today. How much is this costing us?
Have you been a DJ before?
How much is this costing us in tune, this?
Oh.
Right, the dance floor. So what we want to speak about now is a goal that you've got, a big goal, for next year, big or small, something you're going to achieve.
Yeah, I was going to say build this business, but you've just gone bust. All the royalties you've got to pay out now off the back of the show.
I'll cover it.
Yeah, it'd probably be to, in relation to work, would be to build this. Really, you guys are both saying it. Last week we were talking about, you know, being all in on a business and changing, you know, the way you do things. I've always I've been freelance before, and from a media journalism presenter perspective, but in terms of working, it's always been, you know, attached to that job, like a 9-5 kind of thing. And you know, with this and, you know, what we're doing here, it's a lot different, and it's, you know, it can go different places. So yeah, to probably to go all in on this, really, is that, you know, it was really interesting hearing last week about you boys and what you did in the first episode. Go back and listen to it on Proper Sport on YouTube and on your Facebook page. But you know, that kind of struck a chord with me a little bit. And I've
which bit?
Hey, you were talking about being all
episode
in.
Episode 3 now is going to be called All In. That's episode 3, All In.
And it did strike, because I've been going through, I suppose, different. 1 minute you kind of think, oh, you really want to do it, and you're buzzing for it. Then the next point you think, well, got mortgage special, and just go and get a job and do something different. Yeah, and you're kind of working it out, and you're trying to find the best way forward for it. And you know, I've different plans of quite a few things, still up in the air. But it was just that, and there's a couple of different and then we were speaking before about mental health, and there's a really good video from Robbie Hunter Palmer, if you saw it, he put one up the other week about his struggles and what he'd been through, and I identified with some of that when he had two things going on at the same time. One was a real personal family matter, but the other was when he was the CEO of the Bulls, and he felt that he didn't have the autonomy to make changes, but everything was on his shoulders, and he felt that pressure. And I think I really identify with that from the last 2-3 years of what I've been through. You're the face of it, but it's someone else's shit that's behind it, and you're having just to deal with that, and make people redundant or whatever. So I kind of feel like now,
and that's tough. I don't want to do that again. It's tough, isn't it?
If you have to do it, it's got to be, you want to be on your own terms. So that's from those things, it's kind of kicked me on, and it was really interesting last week.
Next week we're gonna do a full episode on goaling, because there's various of the goaling. There's the entrepreneur side, you're about going all in, but every entrepreneur covers the downside. So like, what I don't always talk about is that I had another house that I could sell. I would have covered it if it all went tits up. I know Leon had other things in place that if it all went tits up. So what you got to do is make sure that your family's set no matter what, because it was a big risk. We went all in. Leon's were a big risk, we went all in. Giving up all guaranteed income, giving up all guaranteed to Lou and Bum. But what you do is you end up getting laser focus, I call it, by doing that. You have no distractions, you just go, boom, we're having it, and you start to make this everything. And you start to track, and suddenly you'll see sponsors coming out of woodwork, you'll get other
people. I worked with Tony Robbins, he put it real simple for me, and he went, when you want to go take the island, he said, you need to burn your boats. Yeah. Real simple. You need to go to the island. And he talks about, it's a real quick one he talks about. And he said to me, I remember him asking me, he said, why are you going all in? He basically asked me, what's your problem? And I started saying, I ain't got the money, I ain't got the education, I ain't got a lot. And I started listening to all these reasons why. And I carried this big bag of pain above me that crushed me from stepping out and going all in. And he said, everything you tell me, they're all resources. And he said, resources are never the problem. Lack of resourcefulness is always the problem. So he said, and that's it. And that was the thing that etched in my mind. And they're the only two things, and it's then exactly like he said, and we'll do a proper session on it. I think it's like anything in life, isn't it? We don't know if it's going to work out. We can only try our best, but then you've got to get. And I think this is where it helped me with spirituality. And I watched a great movie called Minimalism on Netflix. If anyone's watched it, I'd watch it. And it's just about getting comfortable with detaching from all this stuff. So, for example, you running the business like you was doing, you're the face of it. You doing what you was doing with the man club and all the other bits, you're the face of it. It's actually getting away from opinions. All these opinions on Facebook, on social media. If you're coming from a good place, only you and me, only we know if we're coming from a good place. Exactly. And everyone will always have another opinion, another idea. And opinions are one of the cheapest commodities on the planet, because everybody's got one. So it's really been really, really close. And I know that I've got five people on my hand I can count. If I've got a problem, I will ring them about that problem and get a different idea. And it's understanding it. And I think, let's wrap this up again, it's back to that comment you mentioned. You're having to go to a radio.
Right, Dre. Right. So, on that note, give us your goal.
My goal is, I just want to work 8 to 5, just 8 to 5, and come out and get to the gym, work in them work hours, work a 40 hour week and spend quality time with my family. That's my goal.
See, I went out and out entrepreneur, I call it. I'll never be able to do that. I've struggled this week being off, not work, being home and doing nothing. I mean, Mrs. spoke about that. I've still found stuff to do. I've been sending journals. I've been, and as I've been doing that, mad stuff's been happening. I'm sort of an order of 1,500 journals and another a couple hundred. And it's just been carnage. So for me, I will always be an entrepreneur. I've been since I'm 8 years old. I've loved buying and selling and doing stuff like. So for me, what about mine is just to create, keep increasing my value as an individual. If I can keep doing that as a speaker and as the product, it gives me more time. If I increase my value, it means my time's worth more, it means my what I do is worth more, which means I can carry on coming and doing stuff like this. I can go and have more time with my family, which is the most important. So I think we've all got us.
Mine is business, because business, for me to get what I need, I need to grow this business big, yeah. Right? So there's lots of things that need to happen, but I know I can execute smarter in 40 hours than I currently am. That's my thing.
So now that we know that, don't we? We truly know. I think we're all agreeing that.
There's still radiators. What are we calling them? Drains. Yeah, I need to. There's a bit of drain unblocking I need to do in my life.
Yeah, you've got to get. Try and block if you can't. You've got to cut.
Yeah, so I need to do a bit of drain blocking, and then I need to get rid of some drains. I need to fill them in.
So, I think on that note, we've got to say it's been amazing having Sam on here.
Oh, epic, Sam.
It'd be great to get you on again, Sam, if you'd be up for that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I think next week we're going to discuss all things all in, whether that be
all in. Yeah, I like that. It's a great thing.
We've gone on one scale today.
Hi, Jackson.
Stepping back, but I think what we need to do now is we've done stepping back, which is great. But then also, to be successful in any area, you've got to go all in. You've got to fully commit to that. And you know, I think what the name of the podcast is BU is about taking off the limitations, learning to control your B, so it gets sting. And you know, for us,
explain that though, because not everyone will have heard that last week. Explain that. I love this. I love the analogy. This is what he does well when he speaks.
There's two reasons for the B, on the journal or the project BU. One is that a bumblebee's wings, aerodynamically, they're too small for his body, should not be able to fly on a human sense. Humans think they shouldn't be able to fly, but a bumblebee defies its limitations by being able to fly. And I think that's what a lot of us do. From the area we grow up, the parents we had, from the, you know, the background of the people we hang around with, or the finances we had, resources or lack of, we believe that that's how life should be. Where I think it's bullshit, you've got to learn to fly yourself. And the other one is with your bee. If you don't learn to control your bee, if a bee comes into your car today when you're driving home, you try here, what will that bee do?
Sting.
Sting you. Because it gets what? Pissed off. It's trying to sting you. And what happens to a bee once it's stung you?
Dies.
That's a bit like his mind at times. If you don't learn to control your bee, and you just go and you just sting someone verbally or physically, it's only you that long term gets hurt. So for me, it's learning to control that bee.
And also on that as well, that bee as well, cause a guy mentioned this at the club the other night, actually. He said, I'm hearing a lot of people share, and he said, it's as if it's like dealing with anger all the time. And my problem isn't that. Anxiety. And I said, interesting on that, I think that sting though can be yourself. With your own self-doubt, you don't have to express it externally. Yeah. You can beat yourself and you can sting yourself up, so you don't take action. And so much so, it's even more debilitating than doing it externally.
Exactly. I think of what a bee represents. A bee represents hard work, and it goes out, he's getting honey, goes back to the hive. And that's what it's about. It's not really about the anger, because if you learn to control your bee, when problems do face you, you don't sting someone, this is the point. So you can learn to be solution-based. So, you know, when there's no pollen in one place, you go find it another, and you don't just keep sitting on the edge of that flower hoping it comes.
It's good, isn't it?
You'll go find it. You'll go and find the next bit of pollen, and that's what too many people get so bogged down with. Like that, for an example, then, it's not to diss the person. They've took an analogy, and everyone always tries to find something wrong with it, where I always try to find something right with it.
Yeah.
So with that then, straight away, I've never done that pollen before, I've just made that up. But if a bee constantly tries getting nutrients out of the same place, eventually they're going to be gone. They can keep trying, they're not going to be there. So it's got to move on. And that's the thing with business called test and adjust. It's an army term. What they do is a rifleman, they shoot down a range and they test it out before they go to war. If the bullet doesn't strike, they adjust it and they test again until they finally get there. And that's like life, that's business, that's going all in. You've got to test, adjust. And sometimes, and I once got a comment by one of the heads at Samaritan, said the reason why Andy's Mankle's so successful is because you don't care about swapping and changing. So at the beginning it were, we're doing this, and you'd announce it. So a week later, you'd be doing something else because you realise it didn't work, but you'd never mention it again.
Agile, fluid.
So on that note, I think we'll wrap up all about what the BU, we've done what BU's all about.
Just before we wrap up that, I remember, you know, you enter these villages and you see little signs, it says local honey. I remember walking up to his house, knocking on the door, and said, "Where is she? I couldn't find her."
Hey! We'll leave it, Bub Bunch. We'll leave you on that. Thanks everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got a lot out of this. Remember, in life, to always be you, because everyone else is taken.